We are going through a series in the Gospel of Mark. That's with me. Pastor Jim is doing Isaiah. That's next week. And Pastor Rick had been going through the whole Bible. And so we are at three different places. And I'm going through the Gospel of Mark. And for those of you unfamiliar with the Bible, there is four books in the Bible that talk about the life and his teachings, his illustrations, and then ultimately his death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those Gospels are called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you go this evening to Matt's house, you'll get to hear about Matthew, which sounds very similar to what you will hear from me, which is from the Gospel of Mark. I have called this series Walking with the Lord Jesus, and how as he goes from Galilee to Jerusalem, from his birth to his death and his resurrection, we are also journeying along with him. And I'm about chapter 8. Actually, I am in chapter 8. The theme verse that I picked for this passage is, the time has come, God's rule is here, so change your ways and trust God for your salvation. And that is what the Lord Jesus himself said at the beginning of his ministry, and so I consider that as his title, as the theme of the whole book of Mark. But I said Matthew probably. Mark, okay? And I'm getting a little confused here. But today's passage is from Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21, and an interesting title. What is worse? Physical poverty, that is starvation and hunger, or mental poverty, where we don't even understand the things around us. And as we would see today, three groups of people. One group has physical poverty, and the Lord Jesus takes care of the physical poverty. But then we'll meet two groups that have mental poverty, mental starvation. They don't understand what the Lord Jesus is doing. They're questioning him. They can't comprehend. And one group, the Lord Jesus does not fill their needs. Another group, he fills the need. So my question today is, what's worse, physical or mental poverty? My answer is, both are equally bad. Okay, and both, the only answer is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fulfill physical poverty as well as mental poverty. Now, standing here in Singapore, standing among the expats, not many of us are really fully aware of poverty. Some of us are. We have maybe seen it. We have maybe experienced it once or twice in our lives. But that's the physical poverty I'm talking about. But I think the mental poverty, we all can experience wherever we are. Okay? Now, when I grew up in India, and I have experienced brief time in my life, physical poverty. My mom and dad both quit their job at about the same time, and they both became evangelists. And all of a sudden, we had two income coming to our house, and all of a sudden, we had no income coming to our house. And I remember only one day in my whole life where I heard my mom and dad discuss, we have a little bit, we call them kanji, which is rice with water in it. And my mom saying to dad, we have only one bowl of kanji left. Let the children eat, and if there's anything left, you and I will eat. Now, I heard that, my mom saying it in the kitchen to my dad, which is very different in Indian culture. In Indian culture, where I was growing up, dads ate first. But in my house, dad being a Christian, he waited for the children to eat. At that time, I had two sisters, but only one sister lived with us. We were all together. So I said to my younger sister, don't you dare eat all the kanji. And I won't also eat all of it so that there'll be something left for mom and dad to eat. That's the only time I ever remember in my life where I had come so close to physical poverty. Eventually, of course, we had food. I don't remember any time ever going hungry. As you can testify. I'm not a starving person. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't necessarily know what physical poverty is, but I am convinced that many of us go through what's called mental poverty, where we really don't understand God or what he does in this world. So that's what today we're going to talk about. What is worse, physical or mental poverty? My answer would be both are equally worse. Maybe mental poverty is more worse than physical poverty. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. It starts with a story in Mark chapter 8. And I love this description. Now, if you were with me a couple of months ago, I did go through a similar story where the Lord Jesus fed 5,000 people. This is another story where he feeds 4,000 people. So the stories may sound similar, but they are not. They are two different stories happening at two different times. And the story starts, in those days, again, a large crowd gathered around him, and they did not have anything to eat. So the Lord called his disciples and said to them, "I am moved with sorrow for this crowd. They have been with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat." Now, we assume most of the time that they carried some lunch with them, and they would have eaten it the first day. They would have had a little bit left over for the second day. But by the time they get to the third day, there is absolutely no food left. And then the Lord goes on to say, if I send them without food to their homes, they would collapse on their way. Some have come from a long distance. Now, this story is happening outside of Sea of Galilee, which other gospel writers tell us it's a desert place. Matter of fact, even this gospel says a little bit later, where it's a desert, there's nothing, not even plants growing, not even fruit trees around. And they're sitting there listening to the Lord for 3 days. All the food is gone, except for a little bit, which we will see in a moment. And the Lord is moved with compassion for them. I find myself very calloused at times. When we first got here, one day we were in Jochut area, and there was a lady that came and asked us for money. Several emotions went through my mind. First of all, being in Singapore, where I was told there are no poor people, I thought, is this a trap? Is somebody watching me if I'm giving alms and then arrest me? Second thought was, she's a Singaporean. Another Singaporean would take care of her poverty. Yeah? And then I later regretted, why did I not do anything for that person? Yeah? And we need to have that kind of a compassion. Then later one day, I usually walk early in the morning. As I was coming back from my walk, I saw here in Singapore a lady digging through the trash. I just could not believe that, and my heart broke. I walked over, and there was an Indian restaurant where I bought her a dosa and gave it to her. And I was really touched how we are surrounded by people who have poverty, and that's exactly what the Lord is going through, where he is moved with sorrow for the people around them because they've been with him for 3 days. All the food is gone. They're hungry. If he would send them home starving, they're going to faint on the way. And many have come a long way. So I'm sure this also included children. His disciples answered, "From where are we going to get enough bread to feed them in this desert?" That is a reasonable question to ask. They are in the desert. There is no food around them. There is no shopping. There is no Walmart. There is no Fair Price. There is no KFC that delivers or McDonald's. Yeah. Plus, eventually we will see this is 4,000 people. That's a problem even at this day. Right? And after 3 days, he says, where are we going to get enough food to feed them in this desert? The Lord says, how many bread do you have? And they said, we have seven. Now, I love this, them saying seven. How many are there? I mean, among Jesus and the disciples? 12 disciples plus one Jesus, that's 13, if my math is correct, right? So by them saying seven, what they're actually saying is, we don't even have enough for us. Jesus, you go hungry. Yeah, I'll have my piece, says Andrew or Peter, right? There isn't enough bread just for the leadership, is basically what they're saying. Seven. Matter of fact, a little bit later we'll find out they also have a little bit fish, right? And that's all they have. But instead the Lord says to them, sit down, let the crowd sit on the ground. And then he took the seven bread, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to distribute them to the crowd. And they did. They had a few little fish. I'm thinking of something like little tiny fish that we don't usually eat, like anchovies. Yeah? Something like that, little fish. He gives thanks. He asks them to distribute them also. And they all ate and were satisfied. Not like they all had a little piece and said, oh, I'm okay for now. And then go home and eat some more. They were fully satisfied. We can see that. They gathered leftovers, seven baskets full. Nearly 4,000 people ate, and then he sent them home. Now, when I go to heaven, I want to ask the Lord for a few favors. I don't know if he would grant me, but I'm going to ask him anyway. I want a taste of manna. Right? Apparently people ate them for 40 years, day in, day out. It must be pretty darn good. Yeah? So I'm going to try what a manna is, even though I don't think they thought it was all that good. They said, what's this? That's what manna means, right? But I do want to try manna. Second, I want to be able to walk on water. I tried that many times and failed. But Peter did. The Lord Jesus did. I too, if possible, I'm going to ask the Lord, can I walk on water? Third, probably I shouldn't say it in a church, but I'd like to turn water into wine. I'll try. I'll ask him, Lord, could I try it once? But my favorite one is going to be this. I want to see, how did you take seven pieces of bread and feed 4,000 people? I just want a video. I don't necessarily want you to do it all over again, right? But I would love to see a video of you doing that. I want to see how did you do. But it always reminds me, the Lord, even to this day, does. That is 7 billion people, nearly 7 billion people on this earth. And scientists tell us only 10% of the land is being utilized. Only 10%. That's 90% unharvested, unused. And all 7 billion, almost all 7 billion, have food every day. It amazes me that how grocery stores always remain full, how restaurants always have food, how are we able to, I mean, India, where I am from, has 1 billion people. That's much more than I can add. Yeah? But yet, God, in his wisdom, feeds them. Not necessarily miraculously like we see, but he really does feed them. Matter of fact, there's a horrible statistics in this world. 64% of all malnutrition children in the world live in Asia. Right? That's a huge number. Matter of fact, the next number is also very frightening. 519.6 million or 520 million. That's half a billion adults and children in Asia consume few calories than required for a day, which according to World Health Organization, they're starving, right? Because they're not getting enough nutrients each day. That's half of China. That's half of India. That's one twelfth of world population. Right? Don't have enough food. Even though, as we will see in a moment, that there is enough food on this planet here. South Asia, especially India, has the highest global hunger index score of 30.9. Now, I don't know math. I don't know statistics. So I Googled, and if I'm wrong, it's because of Google, right? 30.9 high hunger index means out of 1,000 people, 31 people are hungry, right? In other words, out of 100 people, 3 people are hungry, not without food that day, yeah? 3 days they've been with the Lord, 3 days they have no food, and the Lord is compassionate. He does not want to send them home empty-stomached so that they will faint on the way. He does not want that happen. So he does a miracle, feeds 4,000 people, not just gives them a sample of the food. He gives them abundantly. They eat all they want. Some of them had big bellies at the end. And yet, 7 baskets full of empty food. If you were with him at that moment, what would you think about his ability to feed people? Would you ever again wonder, I will go hungry as long as I am with the Lord? Would you ever again wonder where my food is going to come from? If you were there, yeah, I know what I would. I'm a little silly when it comes to this, right? Every time lunch comes, I'm going to say to the Lord, what do you have for me today? Bread is fine. Fish is good. Throw in a steak with it. Yeah? Some vegetable for decorations around the side. But just a nice chunk of meat and fried French fries. Go for it, Lord. Try it new. Something. Just be extravagant. Yeah? I would never again, I think, now I'm just like them, a human, right? One day I may be around him and wonder, will he be able to feed me? Yeah, but he can see Peter, John, Andrew, James feeding 4,000 people, bread after bread after bread, as the Lord keeps breaking from the 7. Imagine yourself there. How would you feel? Samuel, wouldn't you be running around distributing all the bread and saying, there's a crowd there, 10 people that still haven't gotten all the food. Break some more, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you say that? I would have. I would have bitten a few fish on the way too. Right? We would have had plenty to eat and plenty to enjoy. But the story continues. My title is, what's worse, physical or mental poverty? The Lord took care of physical poverty. But now we come to the mental poverty. And immediately getting into a boat with his disciples, he went to the other side, the region of Dalmanutha. So he's on the desert side. Now he comes to the prosperous, or the side that has a lot of food. And there he meets with one group of people, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders. They are the seminarians, people like me and Dr. Rick, our pastor, who know a lot of things about God, even teach the teachings of God, right? And they question him. They wanted to see a sign from heaven as a way of proving his authority. Now, they just saw a sign. They just saw Jesus feeding 4,000 people. They saw him a little earlier feeding 5,000 people. Would you still want to have more sign? But yet they did, right? They said, we want to see a sign from heaven. And just as he was so deeply grieved when he saw the poor people or starving people, He's also deeply grieved in his spirit, saying, why does this generation seek a sign? I will tell you if I see a sign that is given to this generation. And then he left them, got on the boat, went to the other side. Mark has a little fun detour in his whole gospel. Jesus gets on the Sea of Galilee, goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, right? Imagine being Jesus' disciples and rowing the boat, right? They didn't have motor, yeah? They are rowing back and forth, right? And so they're like, Jesus, come on, pick a side, yeah? He's on the one side where there's physical poverty, physical hunger, he feeds, and then goes to the other side, and he has a knowledge poverty. They've seen the miracle of the Lord, but they still want a special sign. Maybe an angel from heaven come down and say, hey, Jesus is our man. Or God himself to open the windows and speak to them. All of that, by the way, has happened, right? But yet they cannot believe, and the Lord kind of leaves them. This particular group, he doesn't stop and feed them. But then we come to another group that has mental poverty. These are the disciples. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, except one loaf, as they got into the boat. In the meantime, Jesus said to them, watch for the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us. Yeast was a term used for teachings. Because an yeast, if you take a whole bunch of flour and you put yeast in it, it influences the flour, turns it into a sourdough from which you can make bread. The yeast is the instigator. The same way, the teachers were the instigators, people who caused growth in the people. So that was a common phrase to say. So like what right now you're hearing, Andrew's yeast. That sounds horribly bad, doesn't it? Hopefully a good yeast, a yeast that comes from the scriptures, right? So the Lord is saying to them, watch out for the teachings of the Pharisees and teaching of Herod, because they're not telling the truth, is what he is basically saying. But Mark tells us they got on the boat and they forgot their bread, except for one bread. Now, think about this. You are with the Lord Jesus, who just fed 4,000 people with bread. Are you worried if you have only one loaf? Yeah? What you should have done is leave that one piece of bread, and halfway in the ocean, you should say, oh, Jesus, we forgot bread. Can you make us some banana bread? Yeah, while you're at it. Yes, so throw in some raisins. Oh, I will keep them aside if you don't like raisins. Or some walnuts with it. Yeah? But they're worried. They have only one bread. And then the Lord is talking about yeast of Pharisees and yeast of Herod. Matter of fact, they go on to say, they debate among themselves. He is saying this because we didn't bring enough bread. Hearing it, Jesus said, why are you debating that you don't have enough bread? Don't you understand? Don't you comprehend? Why do you have hardened hearts? You have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. What is the reason? He goes on to say, do you not remember that I broke five bread and fed 5,000 people? How many baskets of leftover did you pick? They said, 12. When I broke the 7 and fed 4,000, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick? They said, 7. He says, don't you understand? I don't need bread to feed you, is what the Lord says. You brought one, that's plenty. Why are you worried about bread? Yeah, in a way, even though the Lord Jesus fed them physical bread, The disciples haven't comprehended the basic truth. The basic truth is, as long as the Lord Jesus is with them, they have no lack. Right? We started out by singing, reading the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Right? We remember to say that on Sunday morning. We remember to say that when we read Psalm 23. But do we remember it in the middle of the ocean with only one piece of bread and 13 of us in the boat? Or when life gets complicated, when there is no food in your pantry, do we start thinking, oh, there isn't any food and the Lord isn't with us? Yeah. So he says, don't you remember? This is the mental poverty I'm talking about. Physical poverty the Lord Jesus cares for and takes care of. The same way he cares for the mental property, the poverty, the difficulty we have when we go through a difficult circumstance to see that God can provide. God can take care of my need at that moment. Our normal understanding is, oh, Jesus is asking me about food because I forgot to bring enough bread. A little bit later, we would take the Lord's Communion, where we have the symbol of bread and symbol of blood. Again, the message is that the Lord is sufficient for our salvation. The Lord is sufficient for our physical need. The Lord is sufficient for our spiritual and emotional need. Now, I put this facts up early on, right? 64% of all malnutrition children in the world live in Asia. Does that make you feel really sad? Helpless? I hope it does, because it also causes the Lord grief. Remember, we started out with the story, the Lord was compassionate. He said, I'm moved to sorrow to send these people home without food. Seeing the world hunger, I am sure, troubles him. But there's another side to it. We are as poor as we are, partly because of our own fault. One-third of the food produced in the world for human consumption, that is approximately 1.3 billion tons a year, I forgot to put the part year, gets thrown away every year. One-third of our food. India, where I am from, where I saw poverty all the time, every year, it dumps a tons of rice and wheat into the ocean. Because there's so much more harvested than people need. There's a lot of politics also involved, right? Fruit and vegetables have the highest wastage rate of any. At a retail store, the majority gets thrown away because of their appearance. Yeah, that little eggplant doesn't look good, so it gets tossed away. That little apple. It doesn't look the right shape, so it gets tossed out. Lori and I have seen this many times, and I'm sure you have seen this many times. You go to a restaurant right before it closes. They are by law required to take away all the food that they did not sell and toss them into the trash. We have even seen and asked for one and got a free one before. Yeah? Lori is good at that. And you have, I was in Washington with some friends. They are part of a co-op that gets food that doesn't get into the market because it's not of good shape. Tastes the same. It's just not in good shape. So it doesn't get into the market. So even though there is a lot of poverty, there is also a lot of surplus. Just doesn't get used. Yeah? Because there is, in addition to physical poverty, there is also something called mental poverty, right? The world wants us to see that we are poor. There isn't enough wealth. There isn't enough produce. But the Lord says, I have been feeding this world all these centuries it had lived. I have an abundance of food that you are throwing away. Yeah? And the Lord continues to feed. But that's really not my focus. My focus is, what does really matter? It ultimately is about compassion. I can't get over the first part of this verse, yeah, where all the disciples are around him, all the people are around him, and only the Lord Jesus is moved with sorrow for the crowd. Yeah, there are other stories in the Gospels where the disciples even say, send them home. Hurry them home. We haven't fed them. They haven't had any food. Let them go to the neighboring villages and get the food. Yeah, we often have a tendency to pass on the sufferings or the concerns to other people. Let government take care of it. Let the health organizations take care of it. Let the Singaporeans take care of their problem. Yeah? But that's really not being like the Lord Jesus. Our theme is walking with the Lord Jesus. If we are walking with the Lord Jesus as he was, as he is, we too should have compassion. Don't walk away seeing a person either emotionally, physically, spiritually in poverty. Yeah? Not everyone have the same physical poverty. There is also emotional, mental, and spiritual poverty. The Lord has all the resources at his disposal, right? What he really needs is little people who are willing to distribute them. Have the compassion and say, Lord, my neighbor has physical poverty. He's hungry. Help me to be the distributor of your wealth. My neighbor has a mental ascent poverty. He or she doesn't understand you. Help me be the servant to distribute your wealth. And the Lord has an abundance of wealth. Do we have compassion? Do we care about our neighbor's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual poverty as the Lord felt compassion for? That's what we are called to do. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, thank you for showing us the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we too will be people who are compassionate for people around us, for their spiritual well-being, their emotional well-being, for their physical needs. Help us not to walk away, but help us to have compassionate hearts and actions that follow. You have all the resources. All you ask us to be are to be distributors who understand your heart and pass that on to people in need. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.